Chicago presents its founder, Cornelius R. Stan, with another in a series of messages carefully designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Pastor Stan is the author of many widely read books on important Bible themes and was for more than 50 years the regular teacher here on Bible Time. Although he is no longer able to make new programs, we are happy to repeat one of his messages today. Let's give Pastor Stam our special attention as he opens the Word of God. Now, Pastor Stam.
Thank you, and we're happy, dear friends, to be on the air again with the wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God as we find it in the Word of God, rightly divided. Now, I have two interesting subjects for this week and next. Today, I'd like to speak to you on the Father of us all, and next week, the Mother of us all. But before I go to even a verse of Scripture, let's listen to our beloved Don Graves in a selection entitled, I Will Pilot Thee. It's a lovely song about God's grace in time of trouble and distress and darkness, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I Will Pilot Thee. And in the meantime, why don't you call a friend and tell them that Bible Time is on the air. Tell them where to find it on the dial. And perhaps you'd like to get your Bible so that you can follow along as I speak to you. So now, Don Graves, I Will Pilot Thee.
Sometimes when my faith would falter, and no sunlight I can see, I just lift mine eyes to Jesus, and I whisper, pilot me. Around me gather, and I almost lose my way. Somehow in the raging tempest, I can hear my Savior say,
have an interesting passage I'd like to read to you in Romans 4, verses 13 to 16, where God speaks about the promise made to Abraham and associates that with the promise made to us of salvation through Christ. Let me read it to you. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not made to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, Let me begin by saying that it should be carefully observed that God does not hold the great men of Scripture up to us because of their moral goodness. Almost invariably, their records are spoiled by failure and sin. But God bids us behold their faith and observe how He blessed them for believing Him. Now, this is emphasized with great force in Hebrews 11. Here we find many variables. One man brought a sacrifice. Another walked with God. Another built an ark. Another left his family, and so on. Many variables, but one constant: by faith, all down through that great chapter. Many of the sins and shortcomings of these heroes of faith are omitted in Hebrews 11, for God's purpose in this chapter is to show how He honored their faith. Indeed, this great chapter opens and closes with the declaration that those listed all, now I'm quoting, obtained a good report through faith, that is, through believing. That's in verse 2 and in verse 39, the beginning and the end of the chapter. It's amazing, my dear unsaved friend, what God will do for those who simply believe Him. And now, of course, believe what He says in the Word of God about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust in Him for salvation. Now, in other broadcasts, in fact, through the years, we've seen that unquestionably the one person in all Scripture who stands out as the great example of faith, of believing, is Abraham. My own edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica states a fact that many other secular volumes echo. It says this: the outstanding characteristic of Abraham's life was his implicit and childlike faith in God. In the Scriptures, he is constantly held up as the great example of faith. And to that I say, Amen. Thus, the Apostle Paul, in proceeding to show how justification is not obtained by the law, continues to use Abraham as a living demonstration of this fact. The promise, he says, that he should be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith, verse 13, that's Romans 4:13. Neither Abraham nor his seed earned this honor, nor was it conferred upon them by any document of law. It was simply promised to them. In fact, the law was not given until hundreds of years later. For, Paul goes on, if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise of none effect. If it's a contract, where does faith come in? If it's a promise, then it's to be believed and accepted. If it's in a contract, then you can put promises and faith and all of that out. Now, what's the purpose of a promise if it's not to be believed and relied upon? And a legal contract immediately makes any oral promise, as this scripture says, of none effect. I think this should be self-evident, but you know, many people still need to learn it. In Galatians 3:18, again referring to Abraham, Paul presses this truth home. If the inheritance be of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. God promised, your seed will be my people. Later on, he gave the law, and he added what I've called the Bible's biggest if. If you obey my voice indeed, then you'll be my special people. What do the people do? They all raise their hands and said, all that the Lord God has spoken, we will do. How foolish they were. They should have said, Lord, you already promised that we would be your special people. And that's why the law was given. The lesson to us in Galatians here is clear from this same passage. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For, what saith the Scripture? The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But, what saith the Scripture? The man that doeth them, he'll have to live by them, as verses 11 and 12. How could the law justify a sinner? Obviously, the law must condemn the one who breaks it. The law worketh wrath. Indeed, there would be no transgression if there were no law to transgress, says Romans 4:15. Every criminal knows that the law worketh wrath, and every sinner ought to know it. The Scriptures are bound with testimony to this effect. Galatians 3:19, the law was added because of transgressions. Romans 3:19, that every mouth might be stopped and that all the world might be brought in guilty before God. Romans 5:20, it, the law, entered that the offense might abound. Romans 7:13, that sin by the commandment might become or shown to be exceeding sinful. Colossians 2:14, the decrees of the law are said to be against us and contrary to us. Galatians 3:10, as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. 2 Corinthians 3:9, there it's called the ministration of condemnation. In 2 Corinthians 3:7, it's called the ministration of death. In 1 Corinthians 15:56, the sting of death is sin. That's what makes death hurt. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Yet with all this testimony from the Word of God, men will continue to seek to gain salvation by obeying the law, approaching God on their terms, which He will never accept. Beloved, God will not sell salvation or justification at any price, certainly not for a few paltry good works offered by men whose lives have been corrupted by sin. Well, do you know it's to our infinite advantage to receive justification by faith alone, by just believing? For verse 16 of this chapter goes on to say, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure. This also the apostle stresses in Galatians again and again, but especially in the third chapter, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, he says, that the promise by the faith of Christ, not faith in Christ, that comes in the end of the verse. This is subjectively used. The fidelity of Christ might be given to those who believe. There's your faith. If justification were by the works of the law rather than by grace through faith, how could we be sure of it? I have a little poem here by Isaac Watts, who wrote so many marvelous scriptural poems. Part of it reads this way: Go, you that rest upon the law and toil and seek salvation there. Look at the flame that Moses saw, and shrink and tremble and despair. But I'll retire beneath thy cross. Savior, at thy dear feet I lie, and the keen sword that justice draws, flaming and red, shall pass me by. Isn't that beautiful? Here's another, I believe also by Watts. He says, let us love and sing and wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the law's loud thunder. He has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. He has washed us through his blood. He has brought us nigh to God. Oh, yes, I say to you again, if justification were by the works of the law rather than by grace through faith, how could we be sure? If I had to do as much as lift my little finger, beloved, much less obey the law completely all my life, how could I ever be sure? Indeed, in such a case, I could be sure of condemnation. This is why so many religious people, oh, I hope you're not one of them, and if you are, I hope that'll change right now. This is why so many religious people live their lives in fear. Fear that they will not be able to finally please God in the end, that they won't finally be acceptable to him. And so they go to masses and they say prayers. They don't pray, they say repeat prayers and so on, because they don't have the assurance of salvation based on the promise of God, the finished work of Christ. That's why he says in verse 16, I repeat it, therefore it is of faith, that is by believing, that it might be by grace. God doesn't want you to pay him for salvation. He doesn't need anything. He certainly doesn't need anything you or I could give, my friend. God has made a promise that if you will trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you will be saved, you will be justified before the bar of justice. And here in verse 16, he says, therefore it is by faith that it might be by grace. God wants to give you something. His heart of love wants to bestow on you all the riches of his grace and a secure eternity. Do you want to hurt him? Don't you want to believe him? Don't you want to receive what he proffers to you in grace? Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure. Depend on the law, toil to earn salvation, and my friend, you will never be sure of acceptance with God. I see poor people counting beads and saying formal prayers, repeating them over and over again, as our Lord said, the heathen do. And one thing I know about them, they don't have the assurance of salvation completely wrought for them by Christ. Well, don't depend on the law to earn your justification, or you'll never be sure. Rest in his promise, and your security could not be more complete. He says, but now, Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. He says in Romans 3:24 that we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He says in Romans 4:5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness. He says, by grace are ye saved through believing, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says in John 3:35 and 36, the Father loveth the Son, and has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. A few moments ago, I gave you a long list of scripture verses that show that you cannot be saved by keeping the law. Now I've given you a list of verses to show that salvation and justification is the gift of God, that it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure. I'll never forget when I first really saw that passage of Scripture that is there so plain. I had read it, I'm sure, 1,000 times. I was brought up on Bible reading from babyhood almost. But for once I saw it, I had to be saved too. I was a sinner. I knew it. I was guilt-ridden. I was under deep conviction of sin. And then those words, 1 Corinthians 15:1-3, this is the gospel, this is the good news, by which ye are saved. Christ died for our sins. Oh, I thought, all his sin, all our my sins, he paid for them. He had no sins to pay for when he died. Why did he die? Why was he there as the bearer of sin if on Jesus thy guilt was not laid? Oh, why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing blood if his dying thy debt hath not paid? I saw it, my dear friend. I was about 15 years old, old enough to understand. And from that day, 15 years old I was, I'm now 71. And for more than 50 years, 55 years is it, 56, I have never again worried or wondered about my eternal security. Thank God I was brought up on the Bible. The Bible taught and explained. And I never, ever have had a shadow of doubt about my salvation. I see the simplicity of it. I see the common sense of it. I see the love of it. What a blessing that God has made salvation accessible through the easiest, simplest, freest of channels. There's no toil in faith, no effort, and therefore no merit, no boasting. And his word is a sure foundation to rest upon. Well, it's in view of all this that verse 16 calls Abraham the father of us all, that is, the father of those who simply take God at his word. Ah, oh, my unsaved friend, I beg of you, I don't want to see you lost. I do have on my heart, as I bring these broadcasts, the situations of the people out there, as they say, the people that are religious but lost, not sure of heaven, those, some of them, who think they've sinned too greatly and God won't forgive them. Oh, if you'd all just understand, God loves you. Christ died for you. And you may receive salvation as the free gift of God by simply believing what he says, that Christ died for your sins. So we say to you what Paul said to the trembling Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if you do that, if you'll do it right now, won't you write me and let me know? I want to send you additional free Bible study literature beside what we're going to announce to help you really understand God's plan of salvation so that you can be really sure. Now then, if you've enjoyed this message, I hope you'll want to go farther into the Word of God. I have a little booklet here, especially for Christians, but for anybody. It's called Paradoxes and Puzzles to Interest Young and Old. These are